This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Dixon motions left to right. Easterday, going to do a little pump action fake. Looking for DeLong. Has him caught at the 40. He's into the Stevenson Crumman red zone. Will he get caught? 10, 5, high step, touchdown.
It's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Searin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By DC Waste and Recycling. Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. By CTI Tech. Huff and Son's Funeral Home, and by Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
And good morning, David Jenkins.
Morning.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Hey, doing all right. We got more playoff football on the radio today as we will go Class 2A opening round as Staunton will be at Decatur St. Teresa. We'll have live coverage at 1 o'clock, pregame show at 12:40 right here on FM 106 online at WSMIRadio.com. And
third year for St. Teresa, third different class for St. Teresa in the playoffs.
How about that, huh? Played for the 1A state title 2 years ago, lost to Carthenville in the 3A playoffs in the second round last year, and now, as you mentioned, 2A this year. And it'll be interesting to see what happens today. As we found out last night, you never know. You can't make any assumptions based on paper how the game's going to turn out, because Wood River gave Carthenville all they wanted for about 2.5 quarters last night.
Yeah, they what could have been had they had their leading rusher. He, I think, broke his foot or something in week 6 or 7, wasn't able to play, and they kind of were probably playing with no pressure. Because, you know, this is the third time in 3 years playing Carthenville in the first round of the playoffs, so what the heck? We're not expected to win, just play our hearts out.
That's exactly right. And joining us on the phone right now is Carthenville head coach Chad East today. Good morning, Chad.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing all right. Well, that game was interesting last night, and I would imagine there was not s'mores and kumbaya songs going on at halftime.
Well, you know, that's what they asked me. The paper asked me, and, you know, I think they asked if I was an irate coach, I think is what it said, and I was not. You know, I think those are... You know, we have to live in the now and not in the past, and those two quarters were over, and I think everything that could go wrong went wrong, so there was no reason to dwell on it. We just needed to get on and play better.
And, Chad, that's exactly right. For all the things that went wrong in that first half, you were still up 12, and I think in a lot of ways that showed the mettle of your team, that you can have everything essentially go wrong in a half, and you're still up by 12 points.
Right. You know, we've heard comments that we haven't faced adversity or we haven't had a challenge or those types of things. So, you know, I was happy to see our kids. No, when we walked in the locker room, nobody had their head down. I mean, it is what it is. That's what I told them. I said, life goes on. I mean, we cannot in any way, shape, or form. We'll fix it Monday. Right now, we got to worry about winning. So, and they did that. And I was very proud of them to have that attitude in the second half.
And the way the game started, it kind of put you guys on your heels as you had an onside kick recovered on you. That doesn't happen a lot.
No, we had a little breakdown there, and, you know, that's got beat at our own game there one time. So, you know, there's definitely some things to work on next week, and, you know, I was happy we made those adjustments and came out with a win.
Last night really showed why your defense is so important, and they've been dominant all year. But in a game like that, if your defense doesn't show up in the first half, it could be totally different.
Yeah, you know, having run that style of offense before, it's unique, and I loved it and still like it a lot. You know, as long as you're able to control the football, you can do a lot of things. And one of the best approaches against us is not to play great defense. It's to not allow our offense on the field, and they did that, and our defense stepped up in some key situations. And, you know, all things considered, as we watched the film this morning, we kept them out of the 20 and in the middle of the field most of the night. So, you know, overall, I was very proud of them.
Absolutely, and it's all about survive and advance. You hear that more in basketball, but, I mean, it's certainly true in the football playoffs. And you guys, in some ways, it's good that you had a game like that because you had played about as close to perfect football through 9 weeks that a team can play.
Well, I guess that's perspective, I guess. yeah, you know, if we would have rolled through the next umpteen weeks and played like we played before, I'm not sure I would have complained about it. But, you know, having won the game and those types of things, we can sit there and definitely point out some things that we've done wrong, things that we have survived through, things that we were able to do and change at halftime in a tight situation. You know, I thought Jarrett did a really good job in the second half of putting some balls on the money when we needed them the most. So, you know, those types of things will definitely pay dividends down the road.
Speaking of Jarrett, there was a scary moment late in that first half when everyone there kind of held their collective breath. He scrambled, which he was very effective at last night, slid, got clocked high and late. No flag, happened twice last night, actually. And you'll tread carefully here, Chad, I know. But I'm curious, did the official explain to you why there was no flag on that play?
Yeah, you know, looking back at it, I was irate, as long with everybody else. The one coming out of the end zone, if we want to talk about a specific one, the defender was behind Jarrett. So in that regard, then it's a judgmental call by the official. If he's in front, if he's sliding and you're in front of Jarrett or the quarterback, then that decision is a little more easier to make. So after watching the film and that sort of thing, could have maybe slid a step earlier, a step not. It was not a late hit. We can argue if he led with his head or not, but I tell you what, I tread lightly on that because that's a really difficult call for an official to make, you know, with that sort of thing. So, you know, he was fine. I think it was the first time he got the wind knocked out of him a little bit. So, you know, he popped right back up and then, lo and behold, he let the snap go through his hand. So I guess we'll fault him on two things there. So those
because at the time I thought, boy, are those two plays related? But it was just kind of circumstance.
Well, it was coincidence. I think it is. So I tell you what, we ended up with a wet ball because I caused a delay in the action because I wanted an explanation on the field. I got an explanation. It was very well put to me. Well, while that was going on, it was still raining, and of course, you know, that's bad coaching on my part. The ball's sitting on the field, and then, of course, we have to snap it, and it goes through his hands. So I'll take the blame on that one.
And as we spin this forward now, Vandalia, Paxton, Buckley, Loda today, what type of contingent is Carlinville sending up to watch that ball game?
You know, I don't know. It'll be an interesting matchup. You know, obviously, we're well-versed with what Vandalia does. I know very little about Paxton. You know, I think they're a spread run team, so... you know, it'll be interesting. I think Vandalia has seen those types of offenses with Greenville and us and Staunton and Pena. So, you know, I don't know. It's a definite matchup there that will be interesting to see how it plays out today.
Will you go up there and watch it personally?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I think that's one of their benefits. People ask me why we play on Friday night. Well, 7 days ago, playing on Friday night looked a lot better than playing on Saturday. I wish I had that one back for the weatherman. So, I mean... that was our first decision, and then the other decision is we always get a chance to go see your opponent week two, in case or there's a good chance of that. So that's kind of why we do it, and the Friday night lights and the routine. So yeah, I'll be there for a couple quarters for sure.
Chad, your program as a whole, this is the seventh straight year you will play in the second round. That is such an impressive streak, and I'm just kind of your overall thoughts on the program as a whole to win a playoff game seven straight years. That is hard to do.
Yeah, you know, we talked last week. Somebody in the public said, you know, is it great to be 9-0? And I said, you know, I said, it is. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work by our kids and our players. And then, you know, I think as we talk on this show all the time about the expectation levels and getting kids prepared for those types of things mentally, you know, it's nice because they expect it. And when you expect it, it's easy to coach. And you don't have to coach that side of it to the kids because they're already ready to go and they're focused and that type of thing.
You know, last night there was a couple moments in that game. I think whatever it was, about four personal foul penalties in around a 6 or 7 snap period. And I thought your kids really showed their maturity that they didn't retaliate on any of those and make those offsetting penalties. It's hard to keep your cool when that's going on.
Yeah, in their defense, they had played a great ball game and the wheels were. We were starting to roll a little bit, and that frustration had set in there a little bit. But you're right. I was proud of our kids. We kept our composure. You know, there are bigger things out there than that sort of thing. So, you know, I think that's where what you just commented on, having been in these situations before and these types of things throughout their career, and have been on and off the field in playoff situations, definitely pays off.
Chad Easterday, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. Great win last night, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And, David, I've always thought that, because obviously you have to earn your way into the football playoffs, clearly. when you win a playoff game, one playoff game, that's like winning a regional in any other sport.
Yeah, because a lot of times, that's kind of why you see a lot of the first round playoff games aren't necessarily close, because it seems like a lot of teams are just happy to be there. Not to say they're not trying to win, but it seems like a lot of teams are just, you know, their accomplishment was making the playoffs, and then the playing field starts to level out a bit after that first round, because, like you said, you win a playoff game, it's like winning a regional. I mean, that's another step to an accomplishment.
There was only one other game in 3A last night. It was in the northern bracket. Lyle Senior beat Dwight 38-14. Coming up in 3A today, mentioned Vandalia will host Paxton Buckley Lota. That's a 7-10 matchup. The Vandals are 7-2. Paxton Buckley Lota is 6-3. If Vandalia wins, Carlinville will host Vandalia next week. If Paxton Buckley Lota knocks off the Vandals, then Carlinville will travel to Paxton in week two. Other 3A games coming up today at 2 o'clock. Greenville will take on Farmington. The Farmers are 9-0. The Comets are 6-3. That game, a 2 o'clock kick, just like in Vandalia.
Is that their name, Farmington Farmers?
It is.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. At 2:30, DeCoin, the 11th seed of Southern Power, will travel to Williamsville, a perennial power. That'll be a heck of a matchup.
That could be a trap game. That could be a trap game.
That could be an interesting matchup.
Yeah. It really is, because we know how powerful Williamsville is, but, I mean, DeCoin has a nice history of success in the postseason.
Oh, yeah, they certainly do. That's a 2:30 kick today in Williamsville. At 7 o'clock tonight, Pleasant Plains will be at Beardstown in a 5-12 matchup. Some other scores last night in 4A. Rochester beat Bree Central 53-27.
And the sun rose.
It did, yes. Taylorville over Chillicothe, Illinois Valley Central, 57-30. And I just note this, Elmhurst IC Catholic beat Chicago Raby 49-8. Of course, IC Catholic playing up a class because they won the last two 3A state titles. So we'll see how deep they go in 4A.
They got Bishop McNamara in the same class. They're playing Richland County today.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. When we return, we hope to catch up with Staunton head football coach Zachary Ferguson as they are on their way to Decatur to face St. Teresa this afternoon. We'll have live coverage beginning at 12:40 today on FM 106. Sports Saturday back in just a moment.
And it is Sports Saturday on FM 106.
All right. Thank you very much, Tom Williams. Tim Mize, David Jenkins back here on Sports Saturday. And all sorts of football games happening today. You know, there was I feel like there was more Friday night games last night.
Especially in the bigger classes.
Yeah.
It was odd because I went over some of those, and specifically in like 7A and 8A, where you had a lot of teams traveling significant ways. It seemed like there are a lot of games.
Well, yeah, I was surprised that Belleville West, Granite City, and Alton all played last night.
And Edwardsville, too.
Yeah, Edwardsville won. The other three lost. Alton lost by two.
Ooh.
Granite City got shut out, and Belleville West lost by eight.
Ooh.
Those were all 7A games, and you mentioned Edwardsville won in 8A over Evanston Township, 44-27. So the Tigers will most likely be hosting a game in the second round of the playoffs.
Most likely. They'll win a few playoff games. They were that way last year. They got off to, I think, an 0-3 start and then won out, finished 6-3, but were a low seed in the playoffs. And I think they found their way into the quarters or semis.
Yeah, last year, of course, is the year when they had the 40-point lead and lost.
And blew it.
I still don't know how that happened.
Well, they made sure that didn't happen this year because I think they got the running clock at one point, and I think they ended up winning by like 80 in the first week.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody ever gets bent out of shape, but, well, you had the running clock. Why aren't you letting your foot off the gas? Just think about that game.
That's why.
Yeah, it's happened once. It means it can happen again.
You can kind of tell, though. You can kind of tell if a comeback's being made.
Like, yeah. And once momentum shifts, it's hard to get it back. And we saw that last night in the Carlinville game. It was 14-2 at the half. Woodiver got the ball to start the third quarter. Had a very nice drive. A 46-yard touchdown made it 14-8. And Woodiver, at that point, had the momentum. But then Carlinville came right back down the field and scored a touchdown. And from that point, Carlinville had the momentum, and Woodiver could not stop it. The offense started to explode. And that was a situation you could tell Woodiver starting that game, they were agitated that for the third straight year they had Carlinville in the first round. We always talk about the draw. The draw is so important. And from Woodiver, the draw couldn't have been any worse.
You win your conference. You win the Prairie State for the first time ever, and you get a 15 seed.
Right.
That's frustrating.
And, you know, they were the only team in the Prairie State Conference to make the playoffs this year. And I was told that Kevin Golkel, the AD at Woodiver, he looked into it a little bit. And the first time in like 25 years, that there's been the same first round matchup.
3 years in a row?
Yeah, 3 years in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. And Darren Deep told me last night, the same officiating crew all 3 years.
Really?
So that's really strange. That's really strange.
It is. It's gotten closer each time, though, too. The score has.
That's exactly right. I think that was a good situation for Carlinville last night. The fact they got the win, obviously, is the most important thing. But, I mean, it was, you know, in the middle of the third quarter, and the game was questionable. There was a wonder, how was this thing going to turn out? Because Woodiver was really taking it to Carlinville in a lot of aspects of that game last night. But it really showed, I thought, how good Carlinville really is. Because there was a lot that went against them in that first half, and they were still winning 14-2. And it would have been 14-0. If not, as you heard Chad say, the wet football that went
right
over Jarrett's hands.
And it's their most important win of the season, obviously, because it's the playoffs, but they were able to have, I guess, some flaws pointed out to them that they wouldn't have had in the regular season. So they're actually able to potentially work on stuff heading into the second round of the playoffs.
And, you know, you hear about it all the time, like in college basketball. Is a loss, would a loss be good for an undefeated team? Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. But what's better is a game to where everything doesn't go right, mm-hmm. where you have adversity. And this was really the first time at any point in the second half where Carlinville had adversity. Their closest game was Vandalia. And if you remember, that was a 9-point game late in the first half. Kyle Dixon got the 99-yard pick six. Carlinville got the ball out of the halftime break, scored like mm-hmm. a 55-yard touchdown on the first play of the third quarter. So from that point, that game was really over. This was the first time where Carlinville, or team, was within a touchdown of them in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And they responded.
Right. But, yeah, like you said, they were, I mean, it was 14-8 momentum was with the Oilers, and then all of a sudden Carlinville marches down the field. So, in baseball, momentum is only as good as your next day's pitcher, and then football, it's only as good as your next drive, I guess.
You know, that's probably true in a lot of ways. And you just, we talked about it throughout the year with Carlinville. They have so many weapons. I mean, you can't guard them all. You just can't do it. Like, Kyle Dixon had a long touchdown last night. Colton DeLong had a long touchdown. Will Walton had a long pass completion. And then you've got the running game with Ethan Wallace had a good second half last night. And Colton DeLong has really come on here in the last several weeks. They're just, and with the precision of Easter Day, you're not going to stop them. Carlinville actually turned the ball over twice in the first half as well. Easter Day threw his second interception of the year, but threw five touchdowns, by the way. Because I mentioned in the pregame, for Carlinville, turnovers would be the concern in the playoffs, you know, if they're going to get knocked off. Obviously, a bad game can happen at any point. But if they don't turn the ball over, they have proven, not even just this year, last year as well, when they take care of the football, good luck forcing them to punt.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And you won't see a lot of public schools be able to field the defense to stop a team with a lot of weapons just because you're not able to recruit and find the best defensive backs in the state.
Right. Yeah, that's a helpful tool in your
But bag. There is no private school in 3A, I believe, this year.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
So, you got Byron, top seed, Monticello, the top seed in the southern half, and then Carlinville sitting there as the 2 seed in the bottom half, and they will get either Vandalia or Paxton Buckley Loda in the second round.
I don't know who you prefer if you're a Carlinville fan.
Yeah, I mean, you could spin that either way. If you get Vandalia, you get him at home, obviously. It's a rematch situation.
You always got to be dangerous, though. Those are key, because you remember when Staunton went to the title game, Gillespie had beat Staunton in the regular season in that finale, and then they played each other at Gillespie in the playoffs, and Staunton won.
Yeah, exactly right. I don't know if the numbers actually bear it out, but it seems that the team that loses the regular season matchup has an advantage if they meet again in the postseason. So that would be interesting if that was the draw.
It's also the coaches can't look at it like this because they're only looking 1 week ahead and they have to. But it's also interesting because you have to look 2 weeks ahead if you're us, to where if Vandalia wins, Carlinville is on the road in the quarterfinals. Most likely. I'm looking at the Williamsville matchup. Like, if you're looking at a Carlinville-Williamsville quarterfinal matchup, you're going to be at Williamsville if Vandalia wins. If Paxton Buckley Loda wins, then Carlinville's going to host Williamsville in the quarters. So.
And that's where the football playoffs get dicey when you mm-hmm. try to figure out, okay, are we better off being on the road the second round and then home for the quarterfinal round? Because, like you said, the team and the coaches, they can't look at it like that. They have to just take the single opponent that's in front of them. But from our perspective, when we take it to a bigger view, you would rather be at home for a quarterfinal game mm-hmm. than a second round game.
Yeah, because, I mean, you would assume the matchup's going to be closer, the opponent's going to be better. So you'd rather have any advantage you can have, which would be the home field. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be an interesting game today in Vandalia. That's a 2 o'clock kickoff. Vandalia will host Paxton Buckley Loda. You mentioned the Williamsville-DeCoin matchup. That'll be a 2:30 kick today. DeCoin, the 11 seed. Williamsville, the 6 seed. Williamsville's only loss came to Marrora Forsyth, who went unbeaten through the Sangamo Conference. And this will be interesting in so many ways because DeCoin is that, when you think of Southern football
powers,
DeCoin is at the top of the list.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting matchup. What, that's a 6-11 matchup? That's a very deceiving. DeCoin's good. I mean, they've got a history, and I know Williamsville could not have been overly excited that they drew DeCoin in their first round matchup.
I'm sure they weren't jumping up and down.
No. It's like, hey, 8-1, all right, we're still going to have a good matchup. Oh, it's DeCoin? Okay, well,
right,
we'll see.
but I mean, Williamsville, they've proven over the years, mm-hmm. their game travels to the postseason. You know, yeah. something we talked about Fairfield. You know, and they, another undefeated year, they're the 3 seed in the bottom half of the 3A bracket. But for whatever reason, their regular season success is not translated.
Fairfield?
To the postseason. Williamsville's has, Carlinville's has, Fairfield's has not.
Sometimes it just takes 1 year, one playoff win for you to really get, and we saw that with Carlinville with getting past the second round. You know, they had a lot of issues getting past the second round. They did it a couple of years ago and, you know, they got past last year, and this year it looks like they'll have a shot at getting past the second round again. So they may just need that first round win, although Newton is going to be a pretty tough opponent, I think. Newton, while not having a lot of postseason success, has had more success than Fairfield in the playoffs. So that'll be, I'm at the point where I fully expect Newton to win that game. Because I don't trust Fairfield in the playoffs.
Well, if you remember, the year Staunton went all the way to the state championship game, it was Fairfield
mm-hmm.
who they beat in the first round when the Bulldogs were 5-0 or 5-4,
yeah.
And Fairfield was 9-0.
And I looked it up because we were talking about this before the show started. I looked it up. Fairfield lost last year to Vandalia in the first round.
Okay,
it's 41-14, so it wasn't close.
Of course, the Bulldogs will travel to Decatur St. Teresa today. You talk about a tough matchup. St. Teresa. We've talked a lot this year about Carlinville and unfinished business. St. Teresa, I think, is in the same type of mold. After losing last year in the second round to Carlinville in the 3A playoffs, they have been absolutely trucking people this year, scoring basically 60 points a game.
You're going to get Staunton's going to get a heavy dose of Dercadia Wright. That's a good player.
That's a great player. I remember seeing him last year, and it's like, oh my gosh, that kid's a junior?
Last year was a junior. Yeah, he's back. And he's good, and he's had a heck of a year. I think they went 9-0.
They went 9-0.
Yeah.
They beat Tuscola.
And and beat some good teams along the way. So, boy, anything's possible. But contain Jerkady Wright. You're not going to stop him.
No.
Contain Jerkady Wright, and you'll have a shot.
And I don't know how you really prepare for him during the week. I don't know how you...
It's impossible.
You can't simulate that speed and power in practice. He's a big dude. I don't have the roster in front of me, but he's like 6'2", 6'3", around 200 pounds. And, I mean, he is stacked.
Well, and it's also, I mean, he's big, and it's also going to be how the offensive line matches up against the Staunton defensive line. That's going to play a role, too. Because you might be able to slow him down a little bit if the lines are evenly matched, but if St. Teresa's line is just that much better, then it could be a long day.
Exactly right. We'll find out. Hopefully the Bulldogs can shock the world, spring the upset, kick off at 1, pregame coverage at 12:40, all of it live here on WQSMI FM 106, streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. Pena will host 50 in Oakwood in 2A today. That's also a 1 o'clock kick. And Murrah Forsyth will entertain Jacksonville Rout with a 1 o'clock kick in 2A. We've mentioned the 3A games. Down in 1A at 1 o'clock, Greenfield Northwestern will be at Camp Point Central. That's a WIVC affair there.
They just saw each other 2 weeks ago.
Camp Point won that with relative ease.
Yeah, it was like 40-point win, something like that.
That would be relative.
Yeah.
Carrollton will be on the road at Cesar Vallier. The Hawks are 6-3. Cesar Vallier is 7-2. In 5A, Jersey, they will be on the road at Country Club Hills. Hillcrest, they are the top seed. Jersey, a 16 seed, after knocking off state-ranked Columbia in week 9 to even get in to the postseason. That's a 3 o'clock kick today. And then Highland is 9-0. They will host Olympia Fields Rich Central at 5 o'clock this evening.
Highland, another one of those teams. You know, they've had a lot of regular season success, but like Carlinville, they had issues getting out of the second round. Last year, they were finally able to get out of the second round. We'll see how they respond this year.
In 6A, a couple Springfield schools, SHG will host Quincy, and Springfield High will be at Palos Heights Shepherds. SHG kick at 1, Springfield High's kick at 1:30. I saw Dave Kane tweeted out, Palo Heights Shepherd, named after astronaut Alan Shepard.
Oh, is that right?
That's right.
Interesting. Kudos to Dave Kane.
He's always good for a tidbit on the Twitter.
Who else would have known that?
Right.
Who else would have figured that out?
Some other games happening today in 3A. Monticello, the top seed in the southern bracket, they will host St. Joe Ogden. That will be a 2 o'clock kick.
That could be a dangerous game, too, because Monticello won with relative ease in the regular season. But again, St. Joe Ogden's a power.
Well, they are. I would expect Monticello to crush them.
We'll see.
We'll find out.
We'll see.
We'll find out. In 1A today, Arcola will host Salt Fork. That'll be a 1 o'clock kick. Concord Triopia will host Georgetown Ridge Farm. Mentioned Greenville playing the Farmington Farmers. That's a fantastic nickname. I don't know if it's as good as the Fisher Bunnies.
Yeah.
The Bunnies will host Toledo Cumberland today. That'll be a 2 o'clock kick.
It's up there. We should pick out our favorite names from the playoff teams.
We should.
Is Effingham in there? The Flaming Hearts, are they?
Flaming Hearts?
Yeah, the Effingham High School Flaming Hearts. That's their name.
There's some good ones across the state.
Yeah.
Stan McCaslin, who used to work here, was a fantastic play-by-play man for WSMI for a long time. He literally knows, well, used to know, I assume that he still does, knew the nickname of every single high school team in the entire state.
Be interesting to see if he still knew them, because I think some of them changed over the years.
I bet he still knows them.
Okay.
I'm not betting against Stan.
Well, He's a trivia god. If you ever participate in a trivia night in the area, he's there. And
just leave.
Usually near the top.
You're playing for second after Stan shows up?
Most likely.
We need to get to a break here on... Well, Tom Williams says, hey now, just hold your horses
Tom
one
Williams
minute.
Is good, yes.
He is also very good. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, earlier this week, yesterday, Terry Tote caught up with Staunton volleyball coach Janine Lusico as the Bulldogs won a volleyball regional championship this week to play in the Nashville sectional, the Redbud sectional against Nashville on Monday. We will bring you that conversation when Sports Saturday returns following these messages. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, and of course football is the big focus of the weekend, but on Thursday, all the volleyball regional championships for all the classes were held. Carlinville lost a tough 3-set match to Carlisle. Staunton won a fantastic 3-set match against Greenville. So the Bulldogs will be into the Redbud sectional for a semifinal date with Nashville on Monday. Yesterday, Terry Tote caught up with their head volleyball coach, Janine Lusico, and her assistant coaches.
Janine Lusico, who is the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs volleyball team, along with assistant coaches Katie Bima and Holly Weller. And first off, Coach Lusico, congratulations. It's been a few years since the Bulldogs have won a regional championship.
It has. We're very excited.
Tell us about the competition you faced at the Hillsborough Regional Tournament here this past week.
We saw some tough competition. We faced Southwestern, who always gives us a good battle. And then we had seen Greenville earlier this season, so we knew that it was going to be a fight when we met them again in regionals.
Southwestern's one of those teams that no matter what sport they're participating in, you know you're going to get a tough fight.
Right, exactly.
And Greenville, talk to us a little bit about the Comets and what sort of problems they threw at you.
The Comets were loaded with seniors this year. They have a 6'4 junior and a 6' middle hitter senior. And we played them earlier this season, and we beat them in 2. And they did an excellent job of scouting us and coming ready to fight for the regional championship. They, we served short a lot, and they really did a good job counteracting us serving short, and they were hitting harder at us this time, and somehow we just battled back and won that game.
Was there a particular play that was kind of the turning point of the game?
Yes. We did not play well the first game, and then we came out, and they didn't play well the second game, and we won the second game. And in the third game, it was very close. I believe the score was 17-17, and Holly Bukowski, our libero, dug a ball up, but it kind of shanked, and Becca Calderero, senior, dove off the court, and Jay hooked that ball back into the court, and we got it over and won that point, and I believe that was really a big turning point in that match.
It's funny because we talk about momentum in sports, and I think if there's ever a big momentum swing, it's volleyball, because the game now is so fast-paced that once you get a little bit of momentum, you can make a run and put 10 points on the board.
It really is. And it changes just like at a whim. One team will be scoring 5 points, and then 2 points later, the next team will have a run. It really is a momentum sport.
Janine, we've got Katie and Holly standing by. Let's see if we can get some information from Katie right now. Katie, talk to us a little bit about the senior members of this Staunton Ball Club.
We have amazing seniors this year. Janine mentioned Becca Calderero. She plays all the way around for us, outside hitter, right side hitter, and plays the back row. We have Ashley Painter, who is amazing. She's our big middle hitter. She has played so well in this postseason so far. Her serving is amazing. Her hitting is just right on par, and she's really scoring a lot of points for us. We have Sarah Eisenberg. She's our setter. Again, she's also an amazing setter. We are told everywhere we go, your setter is so good, and we say, yeah, we know. She pulls plays out that we can't even believe she's done, and then the hitters get hits off of her. Our fourth senior is Morgan Nolan, and Morgan Nolan had an injury earlier, so she's not been playing, but we definitely like to mention her and include her in our talking because she is a huge supporter of our team and never misses a game or practice, and we're so sad that she's not playing with us.
And Holly, let's get your comment. Tell us what's special about this group of seniors. What's the cohesiveness? What makes them tick?
I would have to say that just how close they are. These girls truly are close friends, and they have each other's backs in all that they do, and they support each other. If one makes a mistake, the other one's right there to support them and bring them up. So they just that closeness that they have makes them fight and work hard to win these games.
Holly, we mentioned earlier about a turning point in the game in the regional championship game, but was there a point during the regular season when you took a look at this team and you said, you know, we may have something here?
Yes, after having so many wins in a row, we were just feeling a lot of confidence with this team, and we were telling each other as coaches that we see this team going further than what they've done in a long time, and we've actually accomplished that goal.
Give us the rest of the starters, if you could, for the Bulldogs.
We have two sophomores that start for us. Karen Russell, she's an outside hitter, and Gabby Rising, she's an outside hitter. We have a freshman who plays defense for us, Savannah Billings. We have a junior who plays defense, Abby Davis, and we have Kaylee Seelbach, who's also a junior, and she subs a lot for us. And then we have a junior middle hitter in Katie Massanella.
Now, the Bulldogs defeated Greenville, losing the first game 21-25, winning the last two games 25-16, 25-20. So that earns you the right to move on to the sectional tournament. I believe the sectional is going to be at Redbud, where on Monday night you get to take on the Nashville Hornets in the sectional semifinal.
We do, and their record's just about the same as our record, so it should be a good match.
Do you have any videotape on them, or are you able to break down something, that their previous contests?
No, we have nothing on them. It's going to be a surprise.
So the Bulldogs are going to go in and do what the Bulldogs do, right?
Right, that's exactly right. That's how we win games. We're going to do what we do best, and hopefully that will be enough.
And if the Bulldogs win on Monday night, of course, they would be able to come back on Wednesday night next week and play for the sectional championship, which would be very, very awesome. So,
It's been a great, great season for us. We now hold the school record for most wins. We just broke that. It was 38 years ago that they had 28 wins, and we just broke that record, and we're now at 30 wins. We won county. We ended up winning Jerseyville. We won regionals, and we're hoping to get some wins in sectionals.
Tell us a little bit about how important it is to play on these Saturday tournaments where you play multiple games and you really kind of get pushed to the limit when you talking about endurance.
Actually, I believe that the tournaments are the most important because that's where you can face teams that give you more competition. So we are searching to find better competition, and in those tournaments, that's where we can find that better competition. And some days we'll play five matches in a game, and we're super tired at the end, and they just learn how to push through it.
Now, in the other semifinal, we might mention on Monday at the Redbud Sectional, Carlisle will take on DuCoin. So the winner of that game will meet the winner of the Staunton-Nashville game on Wednesday night for the championship. And right now you're not worried about Carlisle and DuCoin. You're only worried about Nashville. And actually, you're not even worried about them. You're just worried about the Bulldogs.
That's correct. One game at a time. That's our motto.
So what was the feeling in the comments from some of the girls after the regional championship title was captured? Obviously, they were excited. They were happy. But did somebody step up and say something rather unique?
Well, I always just go into the huddles and I kind of say what's going on at that time. And I told those girls when it was a close, tight match in the third game. I went to that huddle and I said, you need to play. You should not be playing this game for the people in the stands. You shouldn't be playing this game for me. You should go out and win this game for yourself. And I think that really stuck with them, and they really took that and went on, and we're just ecstatic. We're enjoying the ride. We can't believe we're in shock.
They're extremely emotional, crying, and very, very extremely excited to hold that plaque.
Yep.
And talk to me, did you have a good crowd there?
Oh yeah, fans.
We do. We have the best fans around. Our football team follows us wherever we go. We had a ton of kids there last night. All of our parents were there, all of our family members. The coaches' family members were all there. We had more people there than anybody. So it was a great night.
And you know, a lot of times volleyball teams don't get to play in front of that many people. And to do that, it just adds just a little bit extra edge to it, doesn't it?
It does. They play better at home. We are perfect at home. We have no losses at home. And I think that's partly due to our fans because they really pump the girls up and keep them up, and then they perform for them.
There's nothing like that Staunton gym, man. That's a great gym. I love that place.
It is.
It's just awesome. Where you can stick 25 people in there, and it sounds like 500. You know, it's great.
Yep.
Yeah. I love that gymnasium. It's just great. So I hope they never change it. Congratulations on winning the regional championship. I believe the last time they won is what, 2009.
Yeah, I think that's what they
announced. 2009, I believe so. Good luck on Monday night at the sectional. And if you make it through next week, we're going to talk to you again next week, kiddo.
All right. Sounds great.
Okay, Janine Lusico, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, along with assistant coaches Katie Bima and Holly Weller. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us here on Sports Saturday, and good luck on Monday night.
Thank you.
All right, that was Terry Toth's conversation with Janine Lusico, the Staunton volleyball coach. Regional champs, and they will be at the Redbud Sectional on Monday, taking on Nashville. And they've had a fantastic year in a South Central Conference that was loaded up. Greenville had a great season. Pena won a regional. Carlinville, of course, always good. Southwestern had a resurgent year, so it was a really tough South Central Conference. And Staunton still standing as they will play in the sectional on Monday. We need a break. We're back with more Sports Saturday following these messages. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, and we will have Staunton playoff football coming up this afternoon, 12:40 pregame kickoff, 1 o'clock here on FM 106 as the Bulldogs will be at Decatur St. Teresa. And, of course, Staunton football team in the playoffs. We just heard their volleyball team regional champions. St. Teresa, similar, top seed in the football playoffs. Their volleyball team, also regional champions. Their soccer team at the state tournament, as they lost in the semifinals yesterday. Quincy Notre Dame beat St. Teresa in the 1A state semis 3-1. Your other semifinal had Elgin St. Edward beating Chicago Osorio Soto, also 3-1 the final there. So your 1A state championship game, QND against Elgin St. Edward. In a 2A sectional championship yesterday at Maroora Forsyth, Springfield High beat Champaign Central 2-1. In the 3A sectional championship at Collinsville, the Kahawks beat Normal Community by the final of 2-1. So coming up today in 2A sectional championship play at Triad, it'll be Columbia against Waterloo-Jabot. That's a 3 o'clock start. And at Dunlap, Morton will face Peoria Notre Dame. That will be at 5 o'clock. Mentioned the 1A state championship. That's also a 5 o'clock start in East Peoria between Quincy Notre Dame and Elgin St. Edward. So it'll be interesting to see what the crowd is like today at St. Teresa. If their soccer team was playing for the championship, it might be a little different. So the soccer fans were up there for the semifinal. I don't know if they will.
Allegiance is divided. Where's the AD going to be?
Ooh. Ooh.
Where's he going? Or she?
That's a good call.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Got to go somewhere.
You got to go to the state tournament, don't you?
Or do you just not go at all? And
just home?
Yeah. I'm going to be fair. I'm just not going to go.
Decided I'm taking the day off.
That's right.
Gonna binge watch some things on Netflix.
Yeah. I got some recruiting calls to make.
So I'm just very intrigued by this game today with Staunton and St. Teresa. Can Staunton just slow down Jacardia Wright? No one's been able to do it all year. He has 36 rushing touchdowns on the season.
That's a lot. What, had 1,600 yards, I think, rushing?
And keep in mind, they've been blowing everybody out. So
like a pick six on defense or something like that?
To where they haven't necessarily been playing fourth quarters either.
Yeah. He's done it all, too, because I think on one game earlier this year, he had like a 100-yard interception return, like a kick return for a touchdown, like an 80-plus-yard rushing touchdown, and all in one game. So like three plays, he covered like 300 yards.
Exactly, one-man band.
Yeah. He's pretty good. This guy's probably going to play college ball somewhere.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch. We'll see if Staunton can try to slow him down this afternoon when they take on St. Teresa. We need one more break on Sports Saturday. We're back in just a moment. There were a number of one seeds in action last night. Only one of them lost. It came in 5A. Evergreen Park beat Chicago Payton 63-34. So 16 can beat a one, David.
It's possible. Happens a lot more in high school football.
Be done.
Well, it happened this year in college basketball.
Can be done.
It can be done. Absolutely, it can be done. I think wasn't Vandalia a 16 last year?
Vandalia, no.
Plains was. I know Plains was last year because they went to the state championship game as a 16 seed. I don't remember who they beat in the first round though.
Yeah,
because it wasn't Fairfield, because Vandalia beat Fairfield. I just looked it up.
We should have looked that up.
I should have looked it up.
It's an R&D fail.
Yeah. Didn't devote my time properly.
Way to go, David.
Yeah.
So in 4A, of course, it'll be really a surprise if Rochester's not in the state championship game, because, quite honestly, they've won 7 of the last 8 4A state championships. They beat Bree Central last night 53-27. Taylorville is the top seed there in 4A in the southern half. They beat Illinois Valley Central 57-30. So I think that would be a quarterfinal.
Yeah. I think they played each other last year, too, around the same time, and Rochester won. No surprise.
Yeah, I mean, any time the bracket comes out and you're in 4A and you think, ugh, Rochester.
When are we going to run into Rochester?
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing you look for in 4A. Is Rochester in our quad? Okay. Are they in our half of the bracket?
Here we are. Where are the Rockets?
Yeah, I mean, you got to find them.
Yeah.
Because until, I think the only year they didn't win, I think, is when Belleville Altoff Catholic beat them.
They did, but I think Rochester was still favored, I thought. Maybe not.
Yeah, they might have not actually been favored in that particular game.
Is Altoff Catholic in this class this year? Did they make the playoffs this year? I don't remember seeing them.
I don't think they made the playoffs this year. Hmm. I don't have it down. It wasn't on my list of concerns.
Yeah.
Belleville Altoff Catholic.
Well, because they even, 2 years ago was the year Rochester lost? Maybe it was 3 years ago. Whatever year it was they played Altoff Catholic, the year after they lost to them in the playoffs, it was still a close game. I think they won by 1 point.
They beat them the year before they lost. They beat them in a close one, Rochester did. And then the following year, that's when Altoff Catholic got them.
But no, I mean, they played each other the year after that, too. Year after that. And Rochester won, I think, by like 1 point.
Yeah.
Down on the maroon and gray field at Lindenwood. Because they were building a new stadium at Altoff Catholic.
So there's several interesting games today in the opening round. DeCoin-Williamsville might be the most interesting of all just because of the history of both of these programs. If this was a quarterfinal game, it wouldn't really surprise anybody.
Yeah.
But you get it in the opening round and it really gets your attention. That'll be a 2:30 kickoff in Williamsville today. And then you have Greenville traveling to Farmington, and the Comets have a bad taste in their mouth from the way their regular season ended. They only lost three games, Vandalia, Pena, Carlinville, but 66-0 the last time that they took the field. So long trip over to Farmington, and they're going to be playing a little bit angry.
Yeah, they will be. They'll try to do a little bit better, maybe play a little bit better on defense. The defense will really be the angry ones. I mean, the offense didn't score, but it's a little bit more embarrassing if the defense gives up 66 than the offense not scoring.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You don't expect to give up 66 points in a ball game, but that's exactly
not if you're Greenville.
No, definitely not. So we'll see what happens there. That game's intriguing to me. Obviously, Vandalia, Paxson, Buckley, Loda. That's the game to keep an eye on from the Carlinville perspective. The Vandals hosting Paxson, Buckley, Loda today, and I don't think Carlinville really cares who they play. It doesn't matter to them. Their game travels whether they have to go on the road to Paxson or host Vandalia. You'll hear football coaches a lot of times, they really say, we don't like to play the same team twice in a year.
Well, for multiple reasons, as we talked about earlier in the show, it might be better for them to play Paxton Buckley Loda because you don't have the rematch factor of getting upset the second time around. Plus, again, if they play PBL, then should they play Williamsville in the quarters, they're at home. Carlinville will be.
Right.
So you might prefer a Carlinville, even though you have to travel to Paxton, you might prefer a Paxton-Buckley Loda matchup in the second round.
The Vandalia rematch would be interesting because what type of adjustment would the Vandals make? Because they literally did not stop Carlinville in that regular season matchup. Carlinville punted once, and that was because they dropped a pass on third and long. That was a perfectly thrown ball that just wasn't caught. So that was the only time Carlinville did not score a touchdown in that game when they had the ball offensively.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what the coaches are paid for.
That's right.
To make those kind of adjustments.
Probably get paid the big bucks, right?
That's right. I don't even know what high school coaches in this area make.
Oh.
I don't want to ask either.
No. It's not about the money.
No.
It's not about the money.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. I know. I'm sure you are. In 1A, Greenfield Northwestern, they will be at Camp Point Central. In 5A, Jersey, they will be at Country Club Hills. Hillcrest, that's a 3 o'clock kick up there at Country Club Hills. And then a couple of Springfield area games today. Sacred Heart Griffin is hosting Quincy. That is interesting. Both teams are 7-2. And then Springfield High on the road at Palos Heights Shepherd for a 5-12 matchup. That'll be a 1:30 kickoff today. Athens went 2A.
That's what I was about to ask. Who are they playing today?
El Dorado.
That's a good draw for them.
At El Dorado, both teams are 7-2. And Athens is, they're just always kind of that sneaky team in the Sangamo Conference. They played Moreau Forsyth tougher than anybody.
Oh,
almost
yeah.
Beat them.
Athens might wind up the best team in the Sangamo here in a couple of years. I mean, the way they're trending, they were always that sleeper underdog team. And for them to hang this tough as they did against Moroa this year, whereas the rest of the conference seems to have, I don't want to say fallen back because it's still a good conference, but Athens has caught up to the rest of the conference. I'll put it that way.
Well, they've always been the smallest school in that conference, and normally they've gone 1A in the playoffs. So up 2A, that is interesting
for
a number of reasons. So we'll see how they can respond today. And then Tuscola also in 2A. They will be hosting Villa Grove Heritage. Their one loss was to Decatur St. Teresa.
Yeah, and Tuscola's a power. We know all about their program, so it'll be they should win today and win a couple playoff games, but we'll see.
Yeah, you would think. That's why they play them, though.
That's right.
We'll have live coverage of Staunton at Decatur St. Teresa. 1 o'clock kickoff, 12:40 pregame on WSMI FM 106. We'll stream it all online at WSMIRadio.com. Illini.com. Of course, Fighting Illini football up this afternoon as well. They are at Maryland. Never been there before. They never lost at Maryland, David.
Hey!
How about that? Undefeated against Maryland.
That's something to hang your hat on.
Also winless.
That's
against
right.
the Terps.
Yeah,
1:30
details.
With the coverage today on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. Thanks to Chad Easterday for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. Also, thanks to Staunton head volleyball coach Janine Lusico, as her Bulldogs will play in the Redbud Sectional on Monday against Nashville. For Tom Williams and David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Get out today and enjoy some first-round playoff football across the state.